Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:13 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time, excuse me, Standard Time, and today is November 20th. Well, stock markets today were particularly weak. The Dow Jones was down over 500 points, and it's coming back down to test the region of its October low. Well, we can also see that since February there has been a progression of higher major reaction lows, and now the question is whether the market is going to bounce tomorrow or exceed its low and sustain a move below 24,000. That would certainly represent another trend inconsistency. Certainly there was evidence of acceleration in late 2017. The market was rallying extremely impressively, put on almost 3,000 points in just the space of 2 months, so certainly evidence of an uptick in demand, but of course that was primarily driven by enthusiasm for Boeing shares. Then we had the failed upside break, and at the beginning of October the market has come right down to test the region of the lower side of the range. Of course, the lower side of the range is another 1,000 points below where the closing level is today, so we can't rule out the potential that it will get all the way down and test that area. It would obviously be much more comforting from the perspective of the bulls if it were to bounce tomorrow and sustain that sequence of higher reaction lows. I think it is, though, considering that this is a very narrow index, worth looking at some of the largest constituents. Boeing, for example, pulled back rather violently in here today, but then finished well off the lows. And but I think anyone who has have any appreciation for reading charts will very clearly identify that there was a clear acceleration in the latter 6 months of 2017. There has been a marked loss of momentum. There was a sequence of higher reaction lows within that range, but then you also have the failed upside breaks. Now you've had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. This is about as close to a classic type 2 top formation completion pattern that one could possibly wish for. And now the big question is whether the index is going to have the wherewithal to sustain a move back above the trend mean. Well, then when we look at some of the other constituents, well, of course, Apple has got to be up there as well, and it has now pulled back below the trend mean. Well, we've seen on two previous occasions that Apple is capable of some really rather deep pullbacks and lengthy ranges following those pullbacks, and I think that that is exactly what we have right now. But if we think about the Dow more as a blue chip, then I think it is worth highlighting, for example, that GE is being priced like it's going out of business. Well, certainly, that is also the focus of these concerns about leverage loans, about the fact that a significant number of companies had been piling on debt. They've been buying back shares. They've been paying dividends with that debt. It hasn't been particularly focused on more productive assets, and certainly that's been the case with GE. But there is an additional point, and it is that when we look at, for example, some of the subordinated debt that GE has, which might be considered something like a preference share or some of these perpetual bonds, well, they are now trading literally in default territory. The 5% perpetual is trading at a yield of 20.85%. Well, because it has always been considered to be a blue chip, and because a lot of people own the share and own these debt instruments, well, people never really considered that there was any potential that it would no longer be an investment grade proposition. And now they're selling it because there's the potential that it is going to move into high yield territory, or that it is going to move into distressed territory. But when one is thinking about credit, then the much more important consideration is what is the value of it in a bankruptcy situation, then if one were thinking that it were going to go bankrupt and that there would be the potential for recovery of more than what the bonds are selling at right now, well, then one would go for the senior debt. But if one were to bet that GE may be going through some extraordinary difficulties, but that it is not going to default, well, then 21%. You don't have to be right for very long to double your money in the event that a bankruptcy is not imminent, but that it could roll on. So we are getting to a position right now where there are some rather silly valuations starting to appear, and what that does suggest is that there have been some highly leveraged investors that have been forced to liquidate. And there isn't a great deal of evidence yet to suggest that this process is yet over, but it is ex at exactly these types of environments where you do get rather attractive buying opportunities, and it is most especially in those instruments that have pulled back in an incredibly violent manner. Well, one of the instruments that we saw something similar like that happening back in October was Yes Bank, and it fell from 400 to 200 in the space of about 3 or 4 weeks. Now, when you see a decline like this, the chances are that you're going to get a period of support building, and that's certainly what we've seen. It doesn't necessarily mean either that the absolute low is in, but we've certainly had a loss of downtrend momentum. So this is potentially also what we may anticipate from some of these very heavily shorted issues. Well, PG&E has had a rather disastrous experience with some of its equipment that has been one of the causal factors behind the California wildfires, and the share has gone from 70 at the end of last year to 23 today. Well, that's pricing in a lot of bad news. Obviously, there are going to be class action lawsuits from people who have lost property or lost loved ones, but nonetheless, this is a utility. It isn't as if they're not going to be collecting on their utility bills. And that this is certainly a situation that has priced in an awful lot of bad news already. Then, when we look at, for example, Campbell Soup, well, Campbell Soup has been trending lower for a significant period of time, but that's a higher reaction low that we put in over the course of the last 2 months, and now it is testing the region of the trend mean. Well, this is the kind of share that starts to register, I think, some bullish characteristics from a value perspective. If it can sustain a move back above this $40 area and sustain this move up here today, well, then we can start to talk about the downtrend having been broken. And of course, this has been trending lower for almost 3 years already. So there is, I think, a well-recognized argument here, both on the downside, it's already been fully explored. Well, the other big issue that is potentially on the cusp of being downgraded to junk is Ford. Well, Ford has been trending lower now for 5 years. And the big question I think a lot of investors are going to be looking for is when are they going to suspend the dividend? And that obviously the Ford clan have no interest in doing that, but it wouldn't be the first time that they've had to suspend the dividend. And in the event that they do that, well, that is going to represent a fairly significant cash windfall in terms of trying to stabilize the business, considering that the yield right now is in the order of about 8%. So we certainly have some evidence of distressed segments in the market. Then, when we look at the performance of some of these bond funds, well, we can look at floating rates in a moment, and we'll certainly look at high yield. But for example, the PIMCO exchange traded fund has been trending lower now for over a year. In fact, it's held a progression of higher major reaction lows since 2015. And despite the fact that bonds have stabilized somewhat, this is still very much in a downtrend. Floating rate notes, I think, are perhaps fully valued. So they are also selling off somewhat in here right now. And that is a fund that tends to pay a significant return in terms of dividends. So I thought it would perhaps be better to look at it on a total return basis. Well, if we just simply zoom in on the last year, we might get a better idea of exactly what's going on. We can see that there is certainly a loss of momentum. Then when we look at the high yield ETF, well, then that encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean about 2 months ago, and now it is extending its decline. Well, the high yield spread started to break out last week, and it has extended the advance in here so far in the first 2 days of this week. So we can certainly see that there is some pressure coming to bear on the bond markets, and anything that's interest rate sensitive has been pulling back. Well, people are starting to say, well, it's not just technology that has been selling off aggressively, that it is also these highly indebted companies. But the much bigger point is that the common thread of commonality between these two what would be considered diverse asset classes is their interest rate sensitivity. And Nvidia, for example, has just about halved from its peak all the way, what feels like a rather long time ago, all the way back in the middle of October, so 1 month ago. That's, I think, a very clear indication here that we've got short-term oversold conditions, that there is certainly the potential for a bounce. Then the big question is whether we're going to see some support starting to come back in. Well, of course, part of the reason why people have been so aggressively selling Nvidia is because Bitcoin prices have broken down and have dropped $2,000 in just this week alone. So, or in the last seven sessions. Well, this is the better way to think about it is there was still a sequence of lower rally highs within the range. Ranges are explosions waiting to happen. If we'd gone the other way, if we'd had a very clear upper dynamic which had broken the sequence of lower rally highs, well, then we'd be potentially talking about a bullish breakout, but that was not what happened. It was a very clear downward break below 6,000. That is exactly where the stops were, and they've been triggered. Well, this loss of faith in the Bitcoin sector is not particularly good news for graphics card producers, and AMD having accelerated up to its peak back in the summer has given up the entire thing. But perhaps the more important point now is that it is stabilizing in the region of the trend mean, and it was well off its low in here today, and if we get upside follow through, well, then that would potentially be a higher reaction low. Well, the other point that I think is very much worth highlighting is that I have seen more bearish reports in the last week than I've seen in the last year. There is certainly there's certainly evidence that a lot of analysts want to put down a marker that they have got their bearish report out, so that now they can start to say that they were picking at the top of the market. But I've seen so many bearish reports following what has been a pretty difficult period over the last 7 or 8 weeks. Well, what that's beginning to suggest to me is that people don't write bearish reports if they're still long, that there's a lot of selling pressure has already taken place, that there is a substantial amount of short positions that have been accumulated, that people are starting to worry now about what the Federal Reserve is going to do. Well, that really is the big question. I've posted the podcast that Ray Dalio recorded for Bloomberg I think it was either yesterday or just at the end of last week, and I've also put a link through to his book on debt cycles in Comment of the Day today, and that it really is worth reading, even if one were to simply just look at the different stages of the big debt cycles that he's elucidating. Well, we are at a point where there is an extraordinary amount of debt that. But I think it is important to realize where that debt is concentrated because the consumer has delevered and so has the US banking sector. Whereas the US government has not delevered and the US corporate sector has taken on a high degree of leverage over the course of the last decade. That they have binged on debt because they had the ability to do so and that. When you have got such extraordinarily low interest rates, well, then they have a clear incentive to go out and borrow and to buy back their shares and reduce their weighted average cost of capital. That's exactly what they did. Well, now the question is, have their leverage ratios blown out? And certainly that has been the case for some companies. And there will be some companies that go bust. It's most particularly those companies that will go bust that don't have any earnings or that don't have profits. Well, Netflix is one of those companies. They would have to raise their subscription fee substantially in order to cover their liabilities, but most particularly, they have an ongoing demand for capital because they have got very expensive production schedules in the form of new shows. So, that is a significant challenge, but the more important point is that it did accelerate, that it had the clearest evidence of acceleration, and that even though it has pulled back violently, it's still among the best performing shares on the index this year. It is short-term oversold, there's no denying that, but it would need to sustain a move back above the trend mean at the bare minimum. To begin to question that this isn't a completed top formation with additional scope for downside. Then, when we look at what's going on in Europe, well, the Euro Stoxx index has been rolling over and now it is testing the lower side of this very short-term range. And Europe has got some significant challenges. Because while the USA has delevered at least the consumer and the banking sector, that is simply not the case for Europe. Europe has done a particularly poor job of deleveraging, and because it did not solve its banking problem, then banks continue to lead lower. And that is the case right across the region. If we look at, for example, Deutsche Bank. They have been embroiled in another scandal, this time with money laundering, and the share has now broken down to another new low. Well, it was looking potentially like it was building support until it broke downwards in October. Then Commerzbank, where there has been some speculation that the two banks may merge. Also broke down to new lows in here today. The Greek index, where there had been some enthusiasm that they were coming out of their assistance program, that didn't leave them in a particularly bullish set of circumstances, but the index is breaking lower and is being led lower by their banks. And if you look at this over the course of the last year, this is an incredibly consistent downtrend. There is no real evidence of particular acceleration. There is a sequence of ranges, one below another. Each of those ranges is relatively similar sized. So, in a consistent trend is a trend in motion, and it looks like it's going to go lower from here. Well, what does that tell us? Tells us that if we're looking for an epicenter of risk, well, Europe is certainly one of those, and not least because of the policy sclerosis that you have on the political front. Now, when we look at what's going on in the German market, well, the index also moved to a new reaction low in here today. It bounced from the 11,000 level. It's got a lot of work to do. to really question that this isn't a completing top formation and that, that we're not going to see a further test of underlying trading. You have the overhead top formation, you have a little range below the top. This just doesn't look like anything other than a first step below the peak, and the potential here is for additional downside. So I think when we think about where the potential for shorting opportunities are, you've got to be thinking that Europe has got a lot of potential for exploring lower levels, and the Italian index continues to trend lower. The French index has been sustained primarily by the luxury goods market, but there again we have this loss of momentum, failed upside breaks, massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now we're getting this little first step or period of right hand extension just below the peak, and the most likely path of least resistance is for additional downside. Well, there is a consensus evolving in the market that the dollar is going to weaken, but that's a downside key reversal today for the euro, and what that suggests is downside follow through again tomorrow would suggest that we're going to see additional downside for the euro, that it still has this sequence of lower rally highs. It has continued to hold those. When we look at the dollar index, well, this looks like a bullish consolidation. That is an upside key reversal in the very short term, but most particularly it is finding support at 96. That represented the upper side of the underlying trading range, and therefore the most likely course of action is for additional upside by the dollar. Well, of course, that's going to put additional focus onto some of the emerging markets with a lot of US dollar denominated debt. When we then go and look at what's going on in China, well, the A-share market was in negative territory in here today, not by a particularly dynamic fashion, but nonetheless, a 60 point decline is a 2% decline, and it's beginning to confirm resistance in the region of the lower side of the overhead trading range. And then when we look at Tencent, well, Tencent had that very large pop on the upside 3 weeks ago, and that has arrested the decline in the short term, but the sequence of lower rally highs remains in place. The rising of a company called ByteDance, which is essentially mimicking all of the tools and WeChat and gaming applications that Tencent has, would suggest that it is also starting to encounter some competition within its dominant Chinese market. So that's an additional source of uncertainty, not least when the Communist Party has been weighing on these private companies. Alibaba has encountered, it was in negative territory in here today, but it still holds the sequence of lower rally highs. You can see that there is this step. There are 1, 2, 4 steps now of ranges, one below another, and that sequence remains intact. So this is still a downtrend for Alibaba. Well, what is also interesting in here today is that the Chinese banks were in negative territory. But you can see clearly that every time it's come back to test the progression of higher reaction lows, it's bounced. That's the clearest evidence we have of government support for the market. But it's going to have to hold if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. Now, when we look at what's going on in India, well, the Nifty was in mildly negative territory in here today. And the rupee, which has been strengthening over the course of the last few weeks, was also in additional positive territory, but I suspect it will be negative tomorrow considering this strength that we're seeing in the US dollar. Well, the strength of the dollar is sapping some of the demand for gold, but not in an especially dynamic manner. The reality here is that when we look at the debt, I think one of the primary points when you look at what Ray Dalio is saying about the debt cycle and the potential for monetization of the outstanding debts, because they are that there have been so many promises made and that there simply aren't the resources to meet those promises. Well, what that suggests is that eventually either the value of the currency has to be to go down in order to meet those promises, or those promises have to be broken. Well, in a democracy, it's very hard to break those promises, which means that they're going to have to monetize the debt. Well, that's part of the reason why I think it's unlikely that gold prices are going to fall very much further. But certainly we don't have a great deal of evidence just yet to suggest that people are willing to jump in with both feet into the gold market. I think we are in for some additional ranging, and particularly if the dollar continues to push on the upside. And that brings us to oil prices. Well, Brent crude has now fallen for 7 consecutive weeks, and it was down $4.54 in here today. So there is no question of the fact that this is, I think, accelerating lower now, and there is a very clear short-term oversold condition. Something that I've been speaking about and wondering about for most of the last year is at what price we would see resistance being encountered by the oil price. We kind of know where the lower side of this extraordinarily long-term range is, that you get supply destruction when you see prices coming back below $40. That's when you start to see some of the shale drillers going bust. It's when drilling rigs get parked. What we did not really have was intelligence on at what point do you start to see large quantities of additional supply coming into the market, and where is the marginal cost of production? Well, we now have an answer to that question. The marginal cost of production is just above $80, and when prices get up to approximating that level, well, that's when you start to see some of the unconventional or more expensive sources of supply coming back into the market. Well, then that creates a supply glut, and you have to see prices starting to come back down again. Well, we certainly have potential for a bounce in here. But then the potential is that the price will start to come back down again, that the chances are that oil prices are going to be in a ranging phase for the foreseeable future. And considering the depth of the decline that we've seen, well, then the likelihood is that that range is going to be somewhere between about $35 and $85. And of course, that is a more than 100% amplitude from trough to peak. And it is likely to, and we're probably going to have potentially 1 and 2 or even 3 year trends both up and down. Well, these are likely to, I think, contribute to this less than enthusiastic attitude towards the energy sector over the medium term. Then, of course, we know that there is massive infrastructure build ongoing in the battery sector. That's likely to weigh on demand for transportation fuels. It means that then there'll be more production of other oil products, and that's likely to be focused in places that have got the lowest cost of production. Well, that's still the Middle East, so that's why Saudi Arabia is investing so heavily in its oil products portfolio, because they still have the lowest cost of production. And they are betting that eventually the higher cost sources of production will become stranded. Well, that's particularly the case for Canada. When we look at the Western Canada Select crude price, they're almost at a point where they're giving it away. The price is now at $16. Well, if we go back and look at the longer term history, and even looking at where the price was back in 2008, well, we can see that the history doesn't go back much further than that. But certainly, we're at prices now that were below where they were in 2009. So that's got to tell us that there is a lot of distress there. When we think about the pre-salt in Brazil, well, then that's extraordinarily deep water, and that's less likely to be produced upon when you have this environment where prices have got very little potential to get back up towards $100 on a sustained basis. I need to cough just one sec. I do notice that I've been coughing more recently, and I'm putting that down to the air quality here in Los Angeles as a result of the fires, where just about everything right now is covered in ash. We are due, of course, to get some rain over the course of the next 48 hours, and that should help to clean things up, but it's going to cause even greater tragedy because of the potential for mudslides. When we look at lumber prices, they've been falling rather aggressively now for the second half of this year. And we've started to see some bounce starting to come through over the course of the last few weeks. Well, California is now looking at felling a significant number of trees, and particularly because there are a lot of dead trees following the droughts that we had over the course of the last 5 years. So that would suggest that there is no shortage of additional supply. And that would also suggest that we're going to see some additional weakness in the lumber market. Then when we look at the home builders, they've already priced in a significant amount of deterioration. But I think it is worth highlighting here that they've been in positive territory the last three sessions. So they're now starting to exhibit relative strength compared to the selling pressure we're getting in the wider market. Now, when we look at some of the commodity producers, the Brazilian market has continued to hold on to its gains that followed the Bolsonaro victory. And the Brazilian real, well, that had unwound all of its overextension relative to the trend mean, and it's been pretty stable since then. When we look at the South African rand, well, that has also been pausing around the 14 level. It really does need to sustain a move above that level, or on this chart below that level, to really suggest that we're back in a rand-dominated environment. Then when we look at the mining sector, well, there's obviously a lot of uncertainty about what's going on in China, but the resources generally have been reasonably steady, and the mining sector, at least the FTSE 350 mining sector, has been rather range-bound over the course of the last few weeks, but it does need to push up and out of that range in order to signal a return to demand dominance. Well, everybody is now thinking about what is it that the Federal Reserve are going to do, because that is likely to be the making or breaking of this market. If the Federal Reserve decides in December, and it's going to be around the 19th of December, so still a month from now, whether they're going to raise interest rates first, but then whether they're going to pause or continue on their path. Well, if they continue to raise interest rates, we're now at a point of stress in the market that they will create a recessionary environment. And then that would, I think, result in the S&P 500 breaking down from its range. And then we would certainly be thinking about top formation completion. Now, the point is right now that we are at a rather important juncture. This market is either going to bounce soon and sustain this range, or it is going to look like a completing top formation. So this is, I think, a very important time. And what the Fed does and how the Fed acts in this environment is certainly something that is going to have an impact. Well, they are fully aware that of the stresses that are coming to bear now, and the big question is, where is the Powell put? At what point will the Federal Reserve step in to support the market? Logically, they could potentially, if we were to sit by and look at it dispassionately, then they could potentially wait a while before doing so. But we also have to consider that they're politically motivated, and that they've been raising rates already for the last 2 years. That we are coming into the third year of the presidential cycle. It's generally in the first half of that year that the stock market gets a wobble or a sell-off. That was certainly the case back in 2015. But that by the end of the first half, that things start to pick up. Well, and then you in the fourth year, you get a positive performance. So that is, I think, so far, that is pretty much on track. It is looking like the Federal Reserve will begin to tail back its interest rate hikes at some point next year. The 2-year yield has at least paused, and by pausing, it is unwinding its overextension relative to the trend mean. But so far, this reaction has been nothing more than a relatively similar sized pause in what is still a reasonably consistent advance. Well, I think we really are at a very important juncture for markets, and there are lots of small questions, particularly when we look at Europe and we look at the outlook for Europe's quantitative easing, Japan's quantitative easing, the potential for fiscal stimulus in China. But the big question is, what's the Fed going to do with this interest rate policy? Because they are the leader and the largest of the central banks. So that's going to be the main news focus going forward. And I think with that, I'll leave it for today and wish all the best to all of you.